the Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's the Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
Good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston. My name is John Paul, the Car Doctor, here to help you with your car problems on this Saturday morning. Technically, I guess it's Halloween Saturday morning. Thinking about those types of things, if all things go correctly, we're going to be talking to Alon Blosch. He is the CEO of a company called Vroom. It's a new car buying company, and we'll be talking to him in a bit. Also, some victory for Shade Tree Mechanics and Coders. According to an article here, it says, last spring we asked an important question. Do you really own your car? According to Automotive News, one federal agency has now provided a definitive answer, which will make tinkerers and tuners happy if the decision doesn't get upended by federal law. So for as long as there's been cars, people have been customizing them. Some tweaks have cosmetics, some bumper stickers, fuzzy dice, questionable paint, mustaches, eyelashes, all kinds of different things people put on their cars. But then something important happened. Early this year, the Library of Congress and the U.S. Copyright Office began considering whether automotive software was protected by copyright law. General Motors, John Deere, and other equipment manufacturers insist the code fell under the protection of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. They argue that DMCA already protects video games, music files, and ebooks, so the same could be applied to cars. Well, I guess that was recently overturned. Congress got in the middle and said consumer groups, industry watchdogs, and others stand firmly on the opposite side of the issue. The arguments vary widely. Some insist that inspecting code ensures the safety of consumers. Others say there are profound differences between, say, the code found in entertainment products like video games and the code that powers our vehicles. Tuners, of course, have been hoping to get the green light and amend the code on their vehicles. SEMA has always maintained, that's Specialty Equipment Manufacturers Association, has always maintained the right to access vehicles if system to utilize, maintain, and upgrade vehicles is legal and fair to use under the copyright law and activities undertaken to achieve interoperability with aftermarket products. So we'll see what happens. I know AAA nationally weighed in on this, and they were very interested because we believe that you do own the software in your car and you should be able to make changes. If you own a 2016 Ford Mustang, you may be getting a recall notice in the mail. Ford Motor Company has issued a couple of recalls of roughly 131,000 vehicles, and one of them is for the brand new Ford Mustang. So it didn't affect very many vehicles. About 1,900 2016 Ford Mustangs recall stems from a worry that passenger restraints may have been damaged in shipping from a supplier to the Ford's assembly plant. Parts in question include front and rear seatbelt assemblies, rear seat buckle assemblies, and child tethers. If those items were damaged, Ford says they may not perform as intended. They only know about 1,600. Also, a very few number of 2016 Ford E-Series cutaway and chassis cab vehicles. A very small recall stems from a software problem that could prevent the trailer brake controller from working. But the big recall from Ford is about 110,000 vehicles, and that's the 2009 to 2010 Ford Edge and Lincoln MKX vehicles. The recall stems from concerns that brackets holding the SUV's fuel tank in place may suffer from corrosion. If that's the case, the fuel tank may not be properly restrained, resulting in fuel odor, triggering a check engine light, in some cases a fuel leak. And, of course, anytime there's a fuel leak, there's a risk of fire. The recall is limited to vehicles that have been registered and were originally sold in cold weather areas where de-icing salts are used. So that is right where we are. And that includes Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, Rhode Island. So pretty much any place where we're using salt. And around here, if you remember that back, I think it was probably last year at this time, we had somebody on from the that talked about corrosion and how a lot of the elements we're using on the roads today, not just the salts, but the liquids we're using, are very, very corrosive, and not just to cars, but also to bridges and reinforcement and all kinds of different things. So that could be a problem. So you may be receiving a recall notice. Who knows what they'll do? In some cases, they just apply something to prevent corrosion. In other cases, they do more. They sometimes have to replace whatever's wrong with the vehicle, and they'll make major changes to a part. Maybe they'll put a shield in. Sometimes what happens when they put these shields in, it sounds like a good idea. It deflects the water and the salty water and the brine and all that. But the bad part of it is that it traps some of the water, too. So you never know what's going to happen. Well, I'm not sure where our guest is. Who knows? He's in a little different time zone. I wonder if he got his times confused. Or he went out to a Halloween party last night. Who knows? But that would be a good time to talk about the car that got me here today, which is the Mercedes-Benz GLE. It's a mid-size, five-passenger luxury SUV that replaces the ML, which was introduced, I couldn't believe it when I looked this up, nearly 18 years ago. The GLE comes in six versions, a standard six-cylinder, a turbocharged six-cylinder, turbocharged hybrid electric version, diesel, and a high-performance AMG model. All models, with the exception of the GLE 350, come standard with Mercedes-Benz all-wheel drive system called 4MATIC. Our road test was in the GLE 400, which is powered by a 3-liter twin turbocharged engine that develops 329 horsepower. All models, with the exception of the hybrid, use a 7-speed automatic transmission. The hybrid version uses a type of 7-speed transmission, but it's been specifically modified for the hybrid use. The GLE cabin is all luxury, from a soft leather seating to hand-finished wood trim with subtle metal accents. The front seats are 10-way adjustable with 3 memory settings, and the tilt telescoping wheels should allow for a comfortable seating position for drivers of just about any size. Our model also had the optional multi-contour seats with massage function. The seats had a little bit more support, but the massage function to me is just a novelty. Feels, I don't know, I guess it's supposed to be like shiatsu massage or something, and just doesn't seem comfortable to me. These seats had, like I said, a bit more support, but I don't know. Mounted high up in the middle of the dash is an 8-inch screen that displays sound system, vehicle, and navigation functions. Like many luxury vehicles, there's a voice command system. The version in this Mercedes is better than some, but still isn't perfect, and did get somewhat frustrating when it doesn't quite understand my commands. It could be my accent. People say I have an accent. I don't know. I don't hear it. The standard Harman Kardon sound system produces well-balanced audio, delivering 830 watts of power through 13 speakers. I remember when stereos used to be a big deal. It was like, ooh, I have 20 watts of power, 830 watts of power, 13 speakers in the car. The GLE uses a push-button keyless start and rain-sensing windshield wipers, features that once you have them, you wonder how you ever got by without them. The ability to be able to, you know, not take your keys out of your pocket are pretty handy. And say, well, windshield wipers, what's the big deal? I can turn them on. Yeah, but they speed up and slow down based on the rain. Kind of handy. The rear seats are comfortable and offer decent head and leg room. Also, rear seat entertainment, should you need to be entertained, I guess. Your passengers need to be entertained. Optional on the GLE is also rear zone climate control. So it's actually a 3-zone climate control. So the front passenger and driver have their own, they can set their own temperature, as well as the rear seats. So the rear seat passengers are treated as nicely as the front passenger. The cargo area is good size and expands to 80 cubic feet when the seats are folded, and is one of the largest cargo areas in its class of this size vehicle. On the road, the GLE offers an impressive and comfortable ride. The handling is closer to a sedan than an SUV. This may be in part due to the optional adaptive dampening system. The system changes its priorities from comfort to sporty with the turn of a knob. Unlike some other systems, this one really seems to work. Others, sometimes you turn the knob, things seem to happen, and not so sure that anything really did happen. When set on the sport mode, the handling is quite good without being too harsh. Set on the comfort mode, and all but the worst pavement breaks and potholes disappear. The performance from the 329-horsepower engine is quite good, with a surplus of power to merge with fast-moving traffic or pass a slower-moving truck. Fuel economy is rated by the EPA at 19 miles per gallon in the city, 22 miles per gallon on the highway. I've been averaging just a little over 20. The brakes are powerful and easy to modulate. The GLE gets numerous safety features, such as a 360-degree camera, which comes in handy in a crowded parking lot. Then there's the the pedestrian detection system and blind spot monitoring system, as well as lane departure systems. So it does beep, and somebody stepped off a sidewalk in front of the car the other day, and it did. The system works pretty well. The adaptive cruise control system may be one of the best tested. It's very accurate and works down to a full stop, a handy feature in stop-and-go traffic. It's just, generally, this is a pretty nice vehicle, and if everyone had a feature like this, it could very well eliminate minor low-speed collisions. Think about it. If everybody set their cruise control, you're all in. What happens in stop-and-go traffic? It's all good until somebody's not paying attention. They bang into the car in front of them, and then everybody has to stop. Well, if everybody had this cruise control that works down to zero, you would never have to worry about that. The bottom line is the latest midsize SUV from Mercedes is a superior replacement to the aging ML. Overall, the design is more contemporary, the interior a little nicer, and the features better sorted out than the model it replaces. I would put the GLE 400 with 4MATIC mid-pack in a very competitive midsize luxury segment. Like I said, it seats five, it uses premium fuel, gets 18 city, 22 highway. It's going to cost you a couple $1,000s a year for fuel. No idea how it does on crash testing. I would assume it would do at least as well as the outgoing ML. Base price on the one that I looked at was $64,000. And if you were looking to what the competition is, maybe a BMW X5, Lexus RX 350, Acura MDX, I'd put it in that category somewhere. But overall, quite a nice vehicle. Wide and comfortable, not too long. Just a nice vehicle to drive. Why don't we take a break, pay some bills? My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to drive a brand new 2016 Toyota Tacoma at the Xfinity Center in places where you're not supposed to drive a truck. We'll talk about that when we get back. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. If you'd like to join us, 617-770-3030. We'll be right back.
WROL Boston.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions Now. Call 800-426-4979. 800-426-4979. 800-426-4979. 800-426-4979.
Winter doesn't need to get the best of you. Not with Sullivan Tire and Auto Service on your side.
Hey, this is Paul Sullivan. The Farmer's Almanac is predicting another tough New England winter. The key to getting through is preparing. We'll help you get ready and save you money, too. We've stocked our warehouses so we can provide you with these great deals. Buy three, get the fourth tire free on all winter tires. And buy three and get the fourth tire free on all Yokohama all-season tires. Come in today and beat the rush. Thank you.
And Sullivan Tire does more than just offer the best deals on tires. Trust our team of ASE-certified professionals to keep your car running right all winter long. We do it all. Factory scheduled maintenance, winterizing, batteries, brakes, mufflers, oil changes, tune-ups, computerized wheel alignment, and so much more. Visit SullivanTire.com/60years or call 877-592-TIRE.
Now, let's get back to the Car Doctor, John Paul.
That's the girl that she wanted to be. She said, baby,
Welcome back to the Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. Well, I don't know what happened to Alon Blush. He seems to have disappeared. So, I don't know what to say. But, who knows, maybe he'll get our message. I sent his PR person a message. The website sounds kind of interesting. It's called Vroom, and it has some interesting abilities. It almost sounds like a giant internet car dealership with very little brick and mortar. But I guess they wanted to make buying a car as simple as like buying shoes on the internet or something. So I don't know what happened. So, and he has an interesting background. He came from a company called Wix, which developed websites for people. And also in England, he was the CEO of a company called supermarket.com or mysupermarket.com. So he has that sort of do everything over the internet sort of thing, including buy cars, but maybe not telling time. If you own 900,000 or one of 900,000 Chrysler vehicles, there was also a recall as well. Nearly 300,000 model year 2003 to 2004 Jeep Liberty and Grand Cherokees. Some components leaked to the deployment of the airbags. There may be an issue. Fiat Chrysler SUVs were not equipped with Takata airbags, which have been the center of a recall. Also, there was about 13,000 vehicles that also had some problems. There's also 275,000 Dodge Journey crossovers from model year 2012 to 2015, and they need to replace some parts in the anti-lock brake system. And water intrusion may disable the anti-lock braking and stability control system. So you may, if you own a 2003 Jeep Liberty, a 2004 Jeep Grand Cherokee, a Dodge Journey from 2012 to 2015, you may be getting a recall notice in the mail. Just so you know. And then, also from Chrysler, they're considering whether to build a large SUV-type vehicle. And they want it to be kind of competitive with the Chevy Suburban or Ford Expedition. A large SUV would be the first for Ram, since it was kind of taken away from Dodge in 2009. Ram separated into to distinguish its pickup trucks and commercial vehicles from the passenger Dodge vehicles. They said the Ram redesigns its light and heavy-duty vehicles and is able to add production. It has room for such a vehicle. According to the president of Chrysler, they think it's a unique opportunity with the renewal of the pickup line, with the powertrains selected to slightly increase output. They're exploring, as a result of an investment, some other segments. A Ram SUV would compete with a planned three-row Jeep Grand Wagoneer. I think it'll be bigger, though. I think that's what they're thinking about. I don't think anyone who buys a large SUV is confusing it with a Range Rover, he said. So who knows what's going to happen? Could be a big SUV-type vehicle coming from the folks at Chrysler through the Ram division. We'll have to wait and see. If you would like to join us, our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. And I see a long note from Rick. Let's see. Insurance rates for good versus bad drivers. Say out of 100 people, what is the percentage of good drivers with lower rates versus bad drivers with higher rates? I don't know. What happens is we all, to some extent, share rates. Not universally, but to some extent, we all share rates. So even though maybe 1 in 10 drivers is a bad driver or has been in some sort of a crash and their rates are potentially go up, they're not as high up as I guess they could be. And the same thing where in the city, insurance rates are higher than they are living in the suburbs, but they're not as high as they should be based on just living in the city. So I think there's a lot of shared rates in there and everybody's sort of, to some extent, split some of the costs because there may be someone who's had multiple incidents, totaled many cars. They could be spending, say, $10,000 a year on insurance, but they may be nowhere near close to that because we're all paying a little bit more because of everybody's rates, I think. Well, maybe someday we'll have to get my coworker Frank Doyle, the senior vice president of insurance, on, and he can answer insurance type questions. Well, if you're a Volkswagen owner or own a Volkswagen dealer, Volkswagen has come out with something. If you're concerned about that diesel you own or that diesel you just took in trade, Volkswagen of America is seeking to contain the damage from its emission scandal and will offer some buyback on used diesel vehicles from its dealers at pre-crisis prices. According to three dealers briefed on the plan, Volkswagen will guarantee the value of certified pre-owned or other used Volkswagens with the 2-liter diesel engine containing the illegal emission software in dealer inventory at prices seen before September 18th, when the EPA announced the Volkswagen violation. If any of those vehicles stay in dealer inventory for longer than 60 days, Volkswagen will buy them back from their dealers. The program will roll out in three phases, according to a memo that came out 2 days ago, and starting with an inventory of diesel vehicles on dealer lots to help Volkswagen determine which ones are eligible for the program, so they have to take an inventory. That step is expected to be completed by mid-month. Volkswagen will detail the next phases. The move seeks to establish a pricing floor for used Volkswagen dealers whose wholesale prices and auction sales volume have plummeted over the past month, according to Kelley Blue Book. Average auction prices of Volkswagen diesel were down nearly 16% through October 16th compared with levels before the scandal. The auction volumes were down 25%. Offering dealer buybacks also give retailers certainty that used diesels on their lots won't become worthless while they wait for a fix to bring the vehicles into compliance with federal emission standards. It'll also help prevent a glut of used diesels piling up at dealers who cannot sell the 2-liter diesels as certified pre-owned cars, but are still accepting customer trade-ins. Dealers applauded the program, which Volkswagen Dealer Council Chairman Alan Brown said was a move encouraged by the council to ease the uncertainty. We felt several weeks ago that we got control of the values, but the only way to do that was for Volkswagen to step in and prevent them from going to auction. Analysts say some volatility and uncertainty will continue until it's known how Volkswagen plans to fix the cars. The buyback program is one of several initiatives announced at Volkswagen at a national dealer meeting a couple weeks ago. Among them, Volkswagen is crafting a customer goodwill program for owners of diesels affected by the scandal. The executives won't disclose exactly what that means. And I guess calls from Automotive News to Volkswagen didn't get any answers either. So Ford paid C-Max owners $550 after the company reduced the hybrid car's fuel economy ratings. Volkswagen told the dealers it will provide them with another infusion of cash similar to a discretionary fund wired to dealers on October 1st. Though it'll be smaller, I think it'll be something like that. It's kind of interesting. I've been reading about this, and I've been reading what people want to do with their Volkswagen. Some people don't want to do anything. Some people are happy with the performance. They don't care about the emissions, and they like the fuel economy they get. Other people are being a little unreasonable. They want the car to be taken back at full price, and they want Volkswagen to donate like $1 million to a charity just because. I suppose I think I posted something online about Volkswagen fuel economy, and somebody said, well, the fuel economy, Consumer Reports did a test, and they showed the fuel economy dropped by at least 10%. It went from 50 miles per gallon to 45 miles per gallon. That may be true, but it's still above the EPA rating of the car. So even though Volkswagen may have cheated, and that's not good, but people were getting better fuel economy than the car, than the EPA records showed it was supposed to. And if people are truly buying the car based on what the fuel economy numbers are, so if people were buying the car because it said, I can buy a diesel and it's going to get 42 miles per gallon on the highway and 30-something miles per gallon in the city, and, oh, gee, I must be a really good driver. I'm getting 50. And then now they're getting 45. They're still getting 5% above what they said they were going to get. So I don't know how much you can really complain about that. The other thing it said, performance from 0 to 60 when consumers did the testing changed about a second. Well, I don't think most people really would notice if their car went from 0 to 60 in 9 seconds or 0 to 60 in 8 seconds. Probably not. So I don't know if Volkswagen fixes the problem with software and then you got your car back and it got the mileage it was supposed to and the performance was unnoticeable. How bad is it? Now, if you really loved your 50 miles per gallon, well, that's a different story. But it's not that I think in this case, Volkswagen's not delivering on the promise they said, which is we'll give you a car that will get 43 miles per gallon. And, you know, some people argue with me about that. And they said, well, but my mileage isn't what it was. And I said, but your mileage was better than what it was supposed to be. It's unfortunate, but that might, you know, you might actually have to get a car that agrees with what it was supposed to get to start off with. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the other answer is. They might do conversions and you would have to add this AdBlue diesel additive like you would with just about every other dealer, and that could be an issue. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I don't know where it's all going to go. Our phone number, if you'd like to join us, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about your car and your car problems. It's almost 9 o'clock. Why don't we take another break? And when we come back, I think we're going to play a little trivia. We need some scary Halloween music for trivia, by the way. Our phone number, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. We'll be right back.
WROL Boston.
Meet Bobby and Tony Lee, who will inspire you at the Power of Love Women's Conference to live, love, and laugh on Saturday, November 14 at Crossroads Worship Center in Weymouth.
And I said, Lord, I don't care what you do. I don't care how bad the trial is. You have to intervene in this situation. And I know people say, oh, don't pray those prayers. Like, don't pray those prayers of surrender? That makes no sense. Of course you pray those prayers. The eternal matters more than the temporal. So I laid and I said, Lord, you do whatever it takes. I mean, who am I going to trust in? Am I going to trust in my ability to try to get to my son? Or am I going to trust in God's ability to intervene?
$25 tickets when you register at WEZERadio.com or call 1-800-992-0369. That's 1-800-992-0369. We'll see you there.
Miss your favorite show?
Then you have to have an antidote, but it doesn't exist on earth. It exists in heaven.
That anointing from Christ.
Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Or do you just want to hear it again?
Check out our podcast page at WROLradio.com. All your favorite ministries on demand, whenever you want them, day or night, and all for free. Just visit our podcast page at WROLradio.com. Download and enjoy.
Everywhere you go, anywhere you go, WROL, the spirit of Boston, goes with you. That's because we are no longer trapped inside a radio. We are now everywhere you are, and you carry us around in your pocket.
We're ambiguous.
On iTunes, on iHeart, on your own app, on our website, on ChristianRadio.com, on your iPad, iPhone, and Android. We're always with you because we're inside your pocket. Whatever you do, don't lose us. 950 AM, WROL, the spirit of Boston.
You're listening to The Car Doctor.
Yeah.
welcome back to the Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston. Just a little off, you know, used to having, you know, the guests call in when the guest's supposed to call in and didn't call in, and now I'm just a little out of, you know, my timing's off or something. That's interesting, whatever you have playing. Something playing in the background. That happened last week, by the way. There was something playing in the background. Yep. Don't know what that is. I don't know. Up. Marita knows what it is. She's fixing the problem. Well, I said that before we do trivia, I had the opportunity yesterday to go to the Xfinity Center. Great Woods, as it were, once. And they, Toyota had the new Toyota Tacoma pickup truck there. And we talked about the Tacoma pickup truck probably 6 months ago. And it is newly redesigned. It has a new 3.5-liter V6 engine in it. It is available in a variety of trim models. I think there's 6 or 8 or 600. I don't know. A lot of different versions. It is not just a standard cab anymore. It's either the standard cab with the access panel behind it, or it's a four-door. It comes with either a 4 or 5 foot bed. It's a 4 or 6 cylinder version, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, real four-wheel drive with a knob you have to turn to put it in four-wheel drive. You can buy a what they refer to as a decontented version, so it's a front seat. The access door that flips open backwards in the back, no rear seat. So it's a pretty basic truck, and that one's about $21,000. Still, these little trucks are expensive. And then it moves up from there to sport models and off-road models. And they have something which you could only describe as cruise control to drive off-road. And we went through some pretty dynamic off-road drive over a telephone pole, through a bunch of boulders, up some really severe turns, up some pretty steep hills, down some pretty steep hills, and the vehicle moaned and groaned a little bit, but never slipped. And the one that I was driving wasn't the real off-road version, and it had just standard all-season tires on it, and it went places that were pretty impressive to drive in. And it did really, really well. But one of the two of the most impressive things. One was they drove one of the trucks up to a big hill of sand, so loose sand. They put it in two-wheel drive, and they spun the wheels until the tires were down to the axle. So buried the tires completely in the sand. Then they put it in four-wheel drive and spun the front tires until that axle went completely down to the ground. So the car is literally up to the door, the bottom of the door, stuck in the sand. And then they pushed a button, put the truck in reverse, and it slowly on its own rocked itself out of the sand. Ridiculously good how this system worked. Then they took us to a hill that was probably a 30-degree uphill. And pretty challenging if you looked at it and you say, well, I don't know if I can make it, but I might spin the wheels a little bit if I try to go up there. You set the car in a certain setting, and it was one of 5 speeds. And you don't step on the gas and you don't step on the brake. You just put it in four-wheel low, turn this button, and it just creeps along on its own. And it slowly creeps its way up the hill. No wheel spin, no slippage. And then when you get to the top of the hill, it did the same thing going back down the hill. I've seen hill descent systems before to keep the vehicle from sliding going down the hill. In fact, this Mercedes SUV has that. It has a hill descent. But I've never seen a hill ascending version before. And again, you don't step on the gas, you don't step on the brake, you just let the vehicle do its own job. In fact, I went through the entire test course through some deep puddles, through some, you know, 2-foot deep holes filled with water, and never stepped on the gas or the brake. The vehicle did it all on its own. So as nice as this truck is, you add this kind of technology. If you're someone who's really going to drive it in off-road situations, if you're somebody who really likes to find that, you know, secret fishing spot or hunting spot or hiking area or camping area, this truck really looks like it can do it. I kind of wish I had one because across the street, across the parking lot from the radio station is a pretty challenging-looking pile of dirt and rocks that's over there because they're going to be building some big apartments over there. But that would be kind of fun to drive in. But anyway, so really good experience. Fully loaded. I was in one of the top-of-the-line models. Not giving them away. Close to $40,000. But if you were looking for a four-door truck with a 5 or 6 foot bed and very nice inside and every convenience feature you'd want, pretty decent ride, but still a real truck. They're not trying to pretend it's not a real truck. It's a real truck. And it's a real body-on-frame truck, so it does a nice job. Okay, time for a little trivia. And we'll play a little trivia music of some sort. There we go. Okay, so it's going to be scary car trivia, right? And it's not Christine. And same rules apply. If you haven't won trivia in a while, you will be winning trivia. And I will readily admit that I screwed up trivia last week. Not the answer. I was thinking the month was going to be over already. So I gave away the monthly AAA membership last week, and it actually went to our last week's winner. So, sorry. But again, we'll start all over again. We'll pretend today's the first week and do it that way. So you'll not just be entered in to win a AAA membership, you'll also get a prize. So, what was the car that Dennis Weaver drove in the movie Duel? And this was a movie, I don't remember how old it is, we'll figure it out. But it was shot on location in and around California. And it was where a tractor trailer was chasing around Dennis Weaver. What kind of car was it in the movie Duel? So it was, most folks knew Dennis Weaver from his iconic TV shows on Gunsmoke. Or McLeod, but he was also in this other movie called Duel, and there was a 1955 Peterbilt oil truck, and apparently that truck was chasing this particular car. So what was the car in the movie Duel? And we'll talk more about that. And it was a well-known film. Apparently, it was a TV movie first before it was shown in the theaters. It was intended to be one of the ABC's Movie of the Week presentations, keeping the 72-minute running time for TV movies. But once it was aired, the buzz was high, and Universal decided to release it theatrically in overseas venues and eventually led to some showings in the United States. Knowing the 74 minutes wasn't long enough for a full feature film, they added some new scenes and stretched the movie to 90 minutes. So let's see. Trivia. Looks like a lot of people might know the answer. I don't know. But these people haven't won in a long time. So good choice on the Ghostbusters music. Yeah. All right, well, let's go in order, I guess. Let's start with John from Bay State. John?
Good afternoon, sir.
Well, it's not afternoon yet. We haven't set our clocks that far ahead yet.
I'm back from the dead.
Well, thank you. I was a little worried about you.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you to be concerned. I do believe it was a Dodge Dart.
I believe you were wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh. And, as Marita would say. There's a bad buzzer, but you were close. All right, thanks, John.
Okay.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go talk to Bill. Bill? Good morning.
It was a Plymouth Valiant.
It was a Plymouth Valiant, almost like a Dodge Dart.
Yeah, that was a scary movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it says here, according to, I don't know, wherever I got this, it said, although the Plymouth Valiant has been seen in many movies and TVs, it was carefully chosen for its part in Duel. It was revealed that after the film's completion that Spielberg wasn't as concerned with the make and model of the vehicle as he was the color. It was important for the bright red automobile to stand out in long shots on the desert highways. The original TV version, Duel, used two different Valiants, a 1970 model equipped with a 318 and a 71 model with a slant six. Then when the director extended the film and needed additional scenes for the car, a 72 model was used. Continuity was preserved by all three cars having Plymouth in black letters on the hood, and all three had the same Plymouth wheel covers. So you are correct. It was a Plymouth Valiant.
You know, I owned Plymouth Valiant for, it was a really, they had the slant six in it, and it was a really good car. I mean, it would go forever.
Now, did you do your own tune-up work on that car?
Yes, yep.
How many times you dropped that condenser screw down inside the distributor?
Oh, I know, yeah. Finally, there's a screwdriver that, you know, you can grab onto the screw.
Yep.
I finally figured out that I'd best use that.
Yeah, I finally just got tired. I just took the distributor out. It was just as easy. I took the distributor out. It was easy enough to put it back in without any problems. It saved a lot of time. But I remember the very first one, I was probably, you know, 17 or 18 or something, and somebody said, oh, can you tune up my car for me? I said, oh, I can tune up. Sure, I can. And I looked at the distributor, unscrewed the screw, dropped it inside the distributor, and went, oh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And at 17, that seemed like a major disaster.
Indeed.
So, yeah. So we'll put you on hold. We'll get your address down, and we'll send you out something that you, I don't know, it may be something you've never had before.
Okay.
Who knows?
Thanks, John.
All right, take care. Bye-bye now. All right, Marita will take care of that. She's putting her scary music away. Honda takes on Toyota's hybrid car with a roomier fuel cell sedan. Honda Motor Company will begin sales of a $63,000 hydrogen-powered sedan in March, featuring longer driving range and a roomier interior than Toyota's Mirai, I think it is, M-I-R-A-I. As the Japanese car makers promote emissions-free technology, Honda aims to sell a couple hundred of these a year. It's called the Clarity Fuel Cell. I've driven the original Clarity with government agencies and corporate fleets before the first year's production run. Both the Clarity and Toyota Mirai, which starts at, I don't know, a lot in Japan, will benefit from subsidies as much as probably half the vehicle. Promoting hydrogen-based society is part of a broader drive by Japanese government to reduce reliance on imported oil and provide an alternative energy source to nuclear sourced by nuclear power, which has faced public resistance after natural disasters in Fukushima. Well, they put a lot of thought into this. Why don't they expect the government? We don't expect government subsidies to continue forever. Our aim is by 2020, even when the subsidies run out, we can still sell the car at a price comparable to what you can buy the car now with the subsidies. Car makers will face hurdles with the lack of hydrogen fueling stations, which are costly to build and operate without subsidies, as well as the high cost of fuel stacks. The subsidies mirror the inducements Japan offered to buyers with the first hybrids back in the 1990s. To address the problem of refueling, Honda will consider a package deal providing portable hydrogen station for every 20 to 30 fuel cell vehicles sold. So apparently they're going to provide their own gas stations. The driving range of the sedan is about 435 miles on a single refueling, or about 8% more than the comparable Toyota vehicle. The new fuel cell stack is 33% smaller than previous versions. They're hoping to sell eventually about $30,000 a month, I guess. So it could be the answer. Let's go over to line two and talk to Gary. Hey, Gary.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Good. I haven't called for a while, so. I had a couple of things to say, but I was going to call for the trivia, but too late. But I had a little trivia about the movie.
Okay, go ahead.
The stunt driver that drove the truck in that.
Yeah.
He was the same guy that drove the Mustang and Bullet at the end of the movie when they crashed the Charger and
Went
across the road. It was the same guy.
Oh, all right.
I think the name was, last name was Loftus or something like that. But just a little
That's good. That's good to know.
But
I thought you were going to tell me it was you.
No, that would have, yeah. That would have been fun. Go over the cliff and try. That was a good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to tell you, I tried that a toothpaste trick on the headlight.
Yeah.
The covers, because mine went pretty yellowed.
Yeah.
And I was surprised it really, it seemed to work. I mean, it's not like a permanent fix.
Right.
But
yeah, once you get them fairly clean, though, you need to put a little bit of wax or something on them to try to keep them from discoloring again.
Well, I was thinking if you knew you were going somewhere at night and you wanted a little better vision, it's not a bad way to...
Yeah.
And it leaves them minty fresh.
Too. Yeah, minty fresh. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah, the other thing, you know, speaking of minty fresh, the other thing, and I don't know why it works, and someone said to me, oh, did you ever try that thing where if your headlight lenses are yellow, take some off and spray some off on your on the headlight lenses, and it actually gets them clear again. And I didn't have any off. I think I had something else. And I went out and sprayed them, and it actually did lighten them up a little bit.
Yeah, it's not bad for, like a temporary filter.
Yeah, so I don't know what kind of stuff is in the off can that cleans the discoloration off of the plastic lens, but something does.
Well, the other thing I was going to call like a week or two ago, but when you started talking about the VW diesels,
mm-hmm.
and I happened to catch it was on C-SPAN one afternoon. They didn't show the whole thing. I would have liked to have watched it, but it was the European Union countries. It was held in France,
mm-hmm.
and they had the different members, and they were talking about that over there, and they were pretty upset with Volkswagen. And they were also, one of them said they were embarrassed that the United States had to be the ones that found out about it. And then, because there's a lot of green people in Europe now, too, and they're pretty upset because they don't want to lose Volkswagen, of course, because it's such a big deal. But,
yeah.
It was pretty interesting listening to different people.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it is interesting how, you know, all of this came about, and you know we'll have to see what it's where it all shakes out. You know, I think the biggest thing is they have some thoughts about where it's going to go and what it should do and how it's going to all work out. Just the whole idea that I think it, you know, some of it to me is a corporate culture that it sounds weird, but the engineers can't face failure. They can't face the idea that, you know, their bosses said, this is what you need to do. And they, you know, somebody in a back room said, you know what, we can't do it. And if we want to keep our jobs, we got to lie.
Right.
And I think that I swear that that's part of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the government, I guess.
Yeah, well.
But I guess, a lot of people, I mentioned it too, the people who, over there who were buying the cars because they thought it would be...
A couple people have called me up and said, do you think it's a good time to buy one? Can I get one at a deal right now?
Yeah.
And maybe you can. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like, high competition.
I like the diesels just fine. It's just I have mixed feelings about it. So, you know, right now diesel's almost a bargain. It's, you know, it's a little bit more than premium gasoline, but just about the same. You know, when diesel was $1.10 more per gallon than regular gas, it didn't make any sense to me. And still, even at that, you still got to hang on to the car. The big deal with the Volkswagen diesel over some others was it held its value a lot better. So,
That reminds me, there's a show in Vegas, Fat Rods.
Yep.
That's on. They play diesel, a four-cylinder diesel from a backhoe, the turbocharged or supercharged or whatever, and put it in an old Ford for this guy.
Hmm.
And the thing put in a 9-inch rear. They had a Chevy Triple 400. They adapted to it and everything. That was quite...
Yeah. No, that sounds interesting. Hey, we got to get going.
Okay.
Hey, all right. Take care. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Well, with us on the phone is Alon Bloch. He is the CEO of a new website called Vroom, and he wants to try to make... Marita, have you ever bought shoes through Zappos? And, well, he wants to try to make buying cars as easy as buying shoes. Alon, good morning, and welcome to the Car Doctor program here in Boston.
Good morning, John Paul.
How are you this morning?
I'm very well.
Well, thank you for joining us. So is it true you want to make the car buying experience as easy as buying a pair of shoes on Zappos?
Well, I think people agonize so much about shoes that we want to make it easier than shoes.
Okay.
Joking aside, we certainly want to take a lot of the hassle and trepidation and the friction out of the car buying experience and make it much, much easier.
Mm. And when it comes to, as much as my producer Marita loves her shoes, and I'll just assume she does. Do you? Do you love your shoes? She loves her shoes. I bet she doesn't name her shoes, but people fall in love with their cars. Do you think
Absolutely.
People? Do you think people can buy a car as simply as they buy shoes?
Well, just by the way of interest, we did hire the CFO of Zappos.
Oh, okay.
So maybe there's lessons learned. But putting that aside, I think car buying is incredibly complex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very non-transparent process for the consumers, often leading consumers either to buy cars, especially when it comes to used cars, at its quality that is not the correct quality, and so it's over-described. And then the other issue is that you're often overpaying because you need to go and negotiate your car. And car mm-hmm. buying, I think it's important, if I take a step back, Vroom allows you to buy and sell your car online and finance.
Mm.
Those three transactions happen together. So if you think about car buying, it's a bit similar to the real estate market, right? Because you're going to buy a car, you're probably going to trade in a car, and 80% of people finance their car. And then people go into the dealership, start negotiating on the buy, now they get an appraisal for the trade-in. Now they're trying to work out various financing options. You spend hours there. You don't have the information readily available, and it's difficult to make decisions. So we want to make it much, much easier for you to be able to make decisions. There's no reason why you can't buy a car from the comfort of your home if there's a specific car you want to buy, including equipment and trim. As long as we have it, we can make it much easier for you to understand what you're buying and just get the best deal for you, both on the buy and on the trade-in and on the financing.
Now let's talk about what Vroom is. Is it a car dealership? Is it a virtual car dealership? Is it a combination of both?
So Vroom is, we have a dealership license, but, I don't look at this as a car dealership. I look at this as a car retailer.
Okay.
You can go on our site. We have over 800 cars online right now, and we're growing quickly. I think it's important to mention we're the largest online car retailer in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in year two in business, and we're going to sell about $250 million worth of cars. So, we're growing very quickly. A lot of consumers start the purchase through us, actually through the trade.
Mm-hmm.
And we've essentially allowed you to take your iPhone or Android, scan your VIN number, answer a couple of questions, take a few pictures on your iPhone. We tell you which pictures to take, and you will get a cash voucher, an offer for your car within minutes sent to you. And this is not a low-ball offer. And we do that anywhere in the U.S.,
okay.
Across all 48 continental states. So first of all, we make it much, much easier for you to see the value of your vehicle. And,
mm-hmm.
As in most states, you actually get a tax shield against your trade-in. I think it's in 41 out of the 48 continental states. So that, first of all, that's a great starting process. And a lot of people, just decide to sell us their car,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily even retail, a car from us.
Yeah, how do you know you're not getting taken advantage of? How do you know that the car runs as well as they say it is?
So, of course, there's an important trust factor here.
Mm-hmm.
And this brings me to the second aspect of what we do. We have this really big reconditioning facility that we built. It's really a used car factory. We're reconditioning the cars to really, really high spec, both
mm-hmm.
mechanically and cosmetically. We don't sell any cars that have bad Carfax, and we tend to sell cars that have low mileage, across the board.
Yep.
When we do a comparison to our cars at, say, CarMax, which is It's a well-run dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Our cars are about half the mileage that the CarMax, you know, has. We have no bad CarMax.
Okay.
But we also give consumers, we ship the cars from our reconditioning facilities across the country. We have customers in all 48 continental states. And we give them a 7-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked, no restocking fees, and very few people return the cars.
So let's use my producer, Marita, as an example. She wants to trade in her late-model Toyota Corolla. So she would take some pictures of it. You'd tell her which ones to take. And she would scan the VIN number. Yeah. But she's also very interested in the 2015 Corvette that's on your website.
Okay.
So how would the transaction take place?
So if she did it and she decided she wanted to trade in, she would, potentially if she wanted to finance or just pay cash, once we completed the transaction, first of all, right now we've FedEx over documents. In a couple of months, we're going to have it completely online using DocuSign to just sign electronically. But once we have that, we ship over the car to Marita's house in Massachusetts, and we pick up the trade. And that's it. And, if there's any issues, we're on the other side of the line.
Hmm. So it's just that easy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Honestly, we've only been doing this for... since August 13, we're just getting started in many respects. The customers love us because it's a completely different experience.
Mm.
And there's no negotiations because we put our best foot forward. We're already giving you a great price. So this is not a starting price and hoping that you're a bad negotiator.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to bring you into the dealership and spend time with you. If you sign everything, if you buy everything a dealer has to sell, you're signing over 50 documents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where often, especially when it moves to monthly financing, there's all kinds of charges that get thrown in. You're not quite clear what you're getting, but the guy is really nice. And, that's where you often overpay. So there's no hidden charges. You can see on our website, we spell out, by county and by state, the tax title registration. So you get the out-the-door pricing. No dealer gives you the out-the-door pricing on their website. They want you to come in. They want to sell you a bunch of stuff. We want to make it really easy for you to see what you have.
Mm.
We automatically pull out the manufacturer's warranty on our cars. Most of our cars are under manufacturer's warranty, but we calculate exactly how much it's less, and you can see it on the website on that specific Corvette. It's got, 6,000 miles or 15,000 miles. So you can also calculate whether you want to or not take an extended warranty. We want to make it really, really transparent and really easy for consumers to make these decisions. This is a really, really big purchase.
And you also compare prices to sort of what else is out there, right? And you tell us whether it's a good deal or not.
Yeah, I mean, we compare prices apples to apples. But, that is a really important point, and I'm sure you understand, but not everybody does. That equipment and trim and, style can be a big swing factor in pricing. If I've got this, sunroof or navigation, or 4x4, that can make thousands of dollars of difference in value to cars. And when you go to some of the big research sites, there's a lot of information there. Often it's not listed properly. Often the car actually doesn't exist anymore because it's a bit of a bait and switch that dealers will do. Just making it really easy for people to understand what are they getting, equipment. And that kind of stuff. And I just want to emphasize again, when we send you over the car has no curb rash, no dents, no scratches. The car looks fantastic.
Mm.
If it has 5,000 miles, frankly, it'll look like new, even though it isn't. If it has 50,000 miles, it's not going to look like new. It's been used, but it's in a great condition.
Mm. Now, are you actually inventorying these cars? Or are these sort of on consignment? How does that work?
We own these cars.
Own these cars?
Yeah, so we'll buy cars. As I mentioned, a lot of these cars we buy direct from consumers.
Mm-hmm.
If they are retail grade, which we tend to focus on low mileage and no bad car fat, we will recondition them. We have this big process, and you're welcome to come and see the process. And then, the car... We put it online. We put it on our website and on other listing services. And you can see on our site as well, if there is a, if somebody wants to start the process of buying the car, they put a deposit, a $500 refundable deposit on the car, so nobody else can buy the car. The car is online, but it's not available to anybody else until you finish the process.
Hmm. No, it sounds very interesting, and it sounds completely unconventional, as like you said, as opposed to, you know, going to buy a car and you talk to the salesman and then you talk to the sales manager and then you talk to the finance guy, and then you, by the time you're done, your head's spinning and all you want to do is get out of there and hopefully get out of there with the new car.
Yeah, and one of the nicest things we see, even though we're only 2 years old, so it's early in the replacement or addition cycle, but we have a lot of repeat customers.
Mm.
And people tell us, I would never want to go back, you know, to the old way again.
Mm.
If you can make it much easier, if you treat me well, you know, and if the pricing is good, because we do price below the market. We price about 8% below the market on comparable vehicles. And, you know, people love that experience. They love being able to get the car they want, but skip the, you know, skip the equivalent of going to the dentist.
Yeah, and you know, these are cars that have not been any kind of crash. They're fully reconditioned. It's a no-haggle price. Free delivery to my door, you know, to my driveway, I guess.
Yeah.
7-day warranty, which nobody has a warranty that says, hey, if you don't like it, you can bring it back. Because there is sometimes you buy a car because someone tells you it's the right thing to do, and then you get it, and you're like, well, it might be the right thing to do, but maybe just not for me. And then, then you also, in addition to the what's left of the factory warranty, there's a 90-day warranty?
So we give you a 90-day bumper-to-bumper warranty, to all our cars. So we do that kind of on top of that as well, as a kind of reassurance.
Yep.
And again, our cars leave our facility in great shape, so, you know, there is, you know, rare instances if there's any issues.
Yeah. Now, what brought you to Vroom? Where, you know, was it frustration on your own? Did you just see a need for something? Are you, was it another website that kind of made you think that, well, if people can, like we said, we were talking about shoes, if they can buy shoes online, why can't they buy a car online? What brought you to decide this was the right concept?
So, I think it's a combination of a few things. It's it was a frustration with the car buying experience, and the need to go and deal with, you know, buying and selling your vehicle. And I think it's also looking at this and saying this industry, really, the internet hasn't made it better. In fact, in many respects, it's made it worse. And people are still stuck to this old habit, and they don't know that things could be done better. So Vroom is a combination of internet and technology people. It's myself, that's Ellie Workman, who's the chairman of the company, and then real car people, who's real car acumen.
Mm.
We carry, you know, 170 major models, so we're not just a Ford or Toyota franchise. We have a broad understanding, you know, around all these cars, and we'll buy, we're voracious car buyers. We'll buy, you know, Tesla all the way down to, you know, really simple cars in order to help our consumers. There's no car we won't buy and pick up.
Well, I was noticing on your website you had a 2015 Hellcat Challenger, which is almost, it's like trying to buy a unicorn. There's not many of those around.
Yeah.
And it seemed priced okay. It's, you know, I think it was $69,000.
Yeah. So we have these, and occasionally we have these more rare vehicles, and if we can find them, we buy them. And again, we're confident about that because we have, you know, people like Marshall Chesron who have, you know, deep car acumen.
Mm.
And then again, remember, this is a two-way trust. We will also buy cars from consumer side unseen in the same way we sell the car side unseen. And, you know, when I got interviewed by the dealer trade magazines, they all said, well, how can you trust consumers? And yes, occasionally somebody tries to doctor the pictures and, you know, try and send you the wrong car, but you can easily figure it out. On the other hand, many people will wash the car before they send it over to us and under-describe, you know, the vehicle because they're, you know, they notice all these, all these different things in their vehicles. People are honest, and, you know, we need to trust them as well as often to trust us. We need to trust consumers, and it's working out well for us.
Mm. No, it sounds fascinating. And your background, I think I looked up your name, and you were originally with MySupermarkets.com, and I think Wix before that.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, did that sort of the idea of kind of grocery shopping at home and finding the best price, did that sort of translate into the car buying side?
To a certain degree, we're going to do a lot of stuff around allowing people to compare on price and value. Mm. Because there's so many dimensions, you know, on the
right.
car. Two Ford F-150 trucks, you know, could have very different, you know, specs, equipment, trim, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And mileage and value. And I want to be able to show you the trade-off. Because even car experts, IRS car experts, all day long, you know, if they're not sitting in front of the, you know, Manheim auction reports, you know, what's the value of this specific equipment in this specific model, you know, and they don't know. So certainly consumers don't know. So I want to be able to take that. And there's no reason why consumers can't take that data and turn it into actionable data, not just flood you with here's a lot of cars and here's the initial pricing, but just tell them exactly the pricing and the and you know what they're getting. You know, how much is an extra 20,000 miles in a specific car? You know, what is that in terms of that? A $500 value difference is a $2,000 value difference.
No, it sounds interesting. The website is simply vroom.com, right?
Vroom.com, yeah.
No, hey, Alon, thank you for taking some time out of your Saturday and joining us up here in Boston. And, after talking to you now, I think I'm going to go buy a car and a pair of shoes.
Sounds good.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Why don't we take a quick break? My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. If you would like to join us, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. We have about 20 minutes left of the program. If you'd like to give us a call, talk about your car problems. I don't know. Let's not talk about shoes, though. We'll save that for another day. My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. You're listening at AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston.
Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, because I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000.
WROL Boston.
Winter doesn't need to get the best of you. Not with Sullivan Tire and Auto Service on your side.
Hey, this is Paul Sullivan. The Farmer's Almanac is predicting another tough New England winter. The key to getting through is preparing. We'll help you get ready and save you money, too. We've stocked our warehouses so we can provide you with these great deals. Buy three, get the fourth tire free on all winter tires. And buy three and get the fourth tire free on all Yokohama all-season tires. Come in today and beat the rush. Thank you.
And Sullivan Tire does more than just offer the best deals on tires. Trust our team of ASE-certified professionals to keep your car running right all winter long. We do it all. Factory-scheduled maintenance, winterizing, batteries, brakes, mufflers, oil changes, tune-ups, computerized wheel alignment, and so much more. Visit SullivanTire.com/60years or call 877-592-TIRE.
The great molasses flood of 1919, they were there. The Prue pierces the skyline, 1964, they were there. 2004, Boston baseball reigns supreme again. They were there. They were there when Starro Drive opened in 1951, and when the first flight landed at Logan in 1923, they were there. They've been here for 100 years of Boston, uniquely Boston, City of Boston Credit Union. Memberships open to anyone living or working in Suffolk or Norfolk counties. And when it comes to loans, when you need a loan, there's no place like City of Boston Credit Union. They are there, there for you. Home loans, vehicle, tuition, energy, and personal. City of Boston Credit Union, 617-635-4545. City of Boston Credit Union is NMLS number 403469, equal housing lender. Visit cityofbostoncu.com for more. City of Boston Credit Union, uniquely Boston.
Meet Bobby and Tony Lee, who will inspire you at the Power of Love Women's Conference to live, love, and laugh on Saturday, November 14 at Crossroads Worship Center in Weymouth.
And I said, Lord, I don't care what you do. I don't care
how bad the trial is, you have to intervene in this situation. And I know people say, oh, don't pray those prayers. Like, don't pray those prayers of surrender? That makes no sense. Of course you pray those prayers. The eternal matters more than the temporal. So I laid and I said, Lord, you do whatever it takes. I mean, who am I going to trust in? Am I going to trust in my ability to try to get to my son? Or am I going to trust in God's ability to intervene?
$25 tickets when you register at WEZERadio.com or call 1-800-992-0369. That's 1-800-992-0369. We'll see you there.
You're listening to The Car Doctor.
As I was driving to the radio station today, I couldn't help but notice it seemed like every garage I drove by seemed to have a help wanted sign. Everybody seems to be looking for help in the repair business. And even we are at AAA, too. In fact, our AAA fleet garage in Avon is looking for a mechanic. So if you know anybody, and we're also looking for light service and tow truck drivers, both seasonal jobs. So if you're a construction guy who's out of work for the wintertime and you're looking to do something, it could turn into a full-time job. You know, doing jump starts and battery changes and flat tires and, you know, then move up to tow trucks and ramp trucks and all that sort of stuff. We are looking for help in multiple locations. You can go to AAA.com and go to the job section and find them all. But I know we were looking for a tech for our Avon fleet right over in the Avon Industrial Park. So easy on and off the highway. Our phone number is 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Harvey. Hey, Harvey. Hello.
Hi,
how are you?
Good morning. Hi, thank you. And you?
Good.
I had a question about my wife's 2011 Prius.
Okay.
There were four instances when she's turning off the vehicle power, an audio message came up, battery power low.
Really?
And I brought it. Excuse me?
Go ahead.
And I brought the vehicle to the dealer. And they spent about 4 hours looking at it, and they couldn't pin down the problem. They eliminated the 12-volt battery. They eliminated the fog battery, but they couldn't pin down what's causing the message.
Did they? Now, there's been a couple of software updates on that car. I think the Lotus latest one might have been within the past year, and it had to do with that power module and the inverter module. Do you know if they did the software update?
I don't know. They didn't tell me that.
Yeah, because what happens is it would sort of, I don't know if it would do that audible message, but it would go into sort of a limp-in mode where the car just would not be running on the hybrid drivetrain. It would be running on, basically just a gasoline engine without the hybrid assist. So that would be, I would want to make sure that all the software is up to date, including that last, hybrid, software update that had to do with the battery inverter and the module.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. That's the direction I would look at least. And hopefully when it was in at the dealer, they checked to make sure that all of the updates were up to place, but sometimes they just don't look at the simple ones. So.
Okay, well, I'll call them and mention that.
Okay. Yeah, and it was within the last year was when that update should have been, I think, came out, so.
Okay, thank
you. All right, good luck with it. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.
617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through. If you're in the vicinity of the Gillette Stadium next Saturday, there is something called the Best Years Expo, I believe is what they're calling it, and all kinds of stuff for people over the age of 50. Fonzie will be there. The real Fonzie will be there. And I guess so will I, around 1 o'clock. So if you're in the neighborhood, stop on by. I don't know anything. I wish I knew more about it than that, but I don't. So I know I'm working next Saturday afternoon. That's all I know. Let's talk to Peter on line three. Peter.
Hello, John.
Peter, long time no speak.
Yeah, I know. Remember you said you were going to help me with technology from 1958 Edsel?
And I forgot.
2013 Hondas.
Okay.
Power steering. I got a recall for power steering software upgrade.
Okay.
What is that, John? And what should I do? Go
well,
and
well, you should go and get it done.
Yep.
What they're going to do is, for one reason or another, they need to reflash the computer for the car. So they're going to go in and empty out the computer memory, and then they're going to reprogram it for whatever reason they determine that it needs to be done.
I see.
Did it say anything with it about why they wanted to do this?
Well, I did look it up. The electric steering is given out on a car,
yep.
And they've had four or five collisions.
Well, that can never be good.
No.
So, so based on that, yeah, and it's got to be that it's got to be something like the computer is just picking something up somewhere that's causing the problem, and but I would definitely go in and get it looked at, and it's going to be pretty simple. They're probably going to need the car for about 90 minutes or so,
okay?
Because they have to go in and they have to clear the computer out. They're going to upgrade this new software system, and whatever it does, solve the problem. So,
okay. Well, yeah, that's what
yeah,
I want.
I seem to remember reading about it, but I can't recall exactly what it is. But it's with all of these software upgrades, that's sort of how it works. They go in and they do the software change, and that's
right.
Pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh.
It was a lot easier with a wrench and some.
You say that, but with this, you don't even get dirty. you just plug into the computer connector, and it's not that hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You just got to follow the directions, because if you don't follow the directions, like a home computer, things can go bad. So you just want to make sure it gets done correctly. So.
I'll definitely go back to the deal.
Yeah. And it's all done for free, so.
Yeah.
Yep. And at the same time, while you're there, at the same time, the other thing they'll do is they also at the same time see if there's any other recalls, and they'll take care of those at the same time. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right, John.
All right. Take care, Peter.
Yeah, you
yep.
too. Take care. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go over to talk to John. Hi, John.
Hi. I have a question on a body work. I think I got keyed, and there's a gouge-like scratch. Do you know of anything out there on the market that might be a quick fix? I got some touch-up paint, and I tried to touch it up.
Yeah. Can you catch your fingernail on it? If you rub your fingernail across the scratch, does your fingernail catch on it?
Yes.
Yeah, then there's not a lot you can do. You can try to buff it out, and what you'll do is you'll kind of thin the paint out around the scratch, and it might make the scratch thinner looking, so it doesn't look quite as deep. Short of that,
just got to go the regular way.
Yeah, road. Yeah. There are some companies that do paint touch-up, and you might want to call a car dealership and ask them if they have anybody who does, like sometimes it's a combination who does paintless dent removal, bumper touch-up. Like, plastic bumpers are always getting scratched and broken, and sometimes it's the same people that do the same sort of thing. And some of them, they're like artists. Some of them are good, and some of them aren't. I had a car that got scratched while it was parked. I went to I think I bought every product on the shelf at an auto parts store. I bought buffing compound, color wax, the wax that came with a crayon that you could fill in the scratch. And I got it pretty good. It looked good, but I knew it was only going to be until the sun baked it enough or it got washed enough, and then it would go back to the way it was. So you may find out the only way to really fix it is to have somebody sand it, fill it, paint it. But on the other hand, it may be one of those things that you might be able to, somebody creative with a buffing wheel and a little bit of touch up might be able to do it. But try to do it. How long is the scratch?
I'd say probably about eight or nine inches.
Yeah, I mean, you could, you know, that's a lot of touch-up paint, and yeah. It's all about, like, just, and I'm the worst painter in the world, but just, like, if you're painting your bathroom or painting your house or painting your door, it's all about the preparation. So it's all about sanding it, filling it with a little bit of primer, putting the touch-up paint on it, sanding the touch-up paint down, and then putting a little clear over it so it all sort of matches. And you have to use, and you have to make sure you use exactly the factory paint, or it's just going to stand out. So sometimes you can. Sometimes if it's a car you don't care about that much, you take the little nail polish, you know, bottle full of touch up paint, run it along the scratch, call it a day, and go, well, at least it's okay.
So it won't rust.
Yeah, like, exactly.
This is a 15 Honda Pilot.
Geez.
And I'm a fanatic. I clean my car every day, and I put it through the insurance, and I had it appraise and it'll come to $438. I got a $500. Anyway, so
no, I agree. Yeah. My wife's new car, I think we had it for a month and a half, and it picked up a door ding, and it wasn't enough where it cracked the paint, but it was probably the size of a half dollar. I found this paintless dent removal guy. He happened to be near where I worked, and the guy looked at it, and it probably was, if it went to a body shop and they had to try to pull the dent and work the dent, it probably would have been a couple $100. This guy looked at it and said, about $75. It was the quickest $75 I had ever spent. And on the other hand, it's perfect. You can't even tell it was ever done. So now every time I walk by the door, I don't feel bad. So in a 2015, I'd want to get it done.
Okay, John.
Okay, and then I hate people that do stuff like that. But.
One of those things.
I know. Well, you have a good attitude then.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Take care. Yep. Bye bye. Marita's been laughing, and I don't know why. Giggling to herself. Someone wrote to me in the Boston Globe today and said, "Hello, Paul." Well, they almost got my name right. In today's Boston Globe column, a writer had a question about replacing tires on his car. The tire dealer replaced two new tires on the front and one new and one tire with 10,000 miles on the rear. You agreed with this configuration. Everything I've read on replacing tires is if you only replace two, they should go on the rear. Could you clarify? Thanks, Dean in Cumberland, Maine. And here was my thought behind this. They had a car that had one tire that was virtually new. They had a front-wheel drive car. And the reason why typically you want to put the new tires on the back in some cases is where are you most likely to get a flat tire? Usually it's a back tire. And why is that? Because of the dynamics of how a flat tire happens. You usually hit a nail or something with your front tire. It stands up on end. And then you run it over with the back tire. So if you have better back tires, you're more likely to avoid getting a flat tire from that. Also, if you have really bald rear tires, you're likely to go into a skid. Now, with a tire with 10,000 miles on it, it has virtually no wear, maybe a 32nd or two of rubber missing off of it. Put the two new tires on the front because they're going to give you the best drive traction for the winter. The two tires on the back are going to be almost new. That's my reason. The other thing is the two tires on the front are going to be brand new and quieter. So you're going to have something that feels like a new car because of it. So that's my reason. And then there's Paul Sullivan in his pumpkin shirt. The great pumpkin something that says on his shirt.
Your eyes are failing you.
They are. Yeah. Everything's failing me. It's
great
been one
pumpkin,
of those.
Great pumpkin porter.
Porter.
I wear this for Bill Porter.
For Bill Porter.
Yeah.
Not because of a certain kind of beer called a porter.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either. Hello, Paul,
by the way. Good morning.
Good morning. I've had a pumpkin beer before. I'm not a huge fan.
No, they're doing a lot of different things with a lot of different breweries these days. And some of them are hits, but a lot of them are misses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I don't know a lot about it, but right over in my little town of Abington, there is something called, it's either District X or District 10 Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of resurrected an old gas station, and they have a look, and it looks really cute. It was for a short period of time, it was an office building, then it was a tattoo parlor, and now it's this neat looking little building, and it's some sort of little brewery of sorts. And I went in there and I did buy a quart of pumpkin beer because my wife likes a pumpkin beer once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it tasted okay.
Yeah.
But I guess these guys sort of have real jobs, but they brew during the week and sell on Saturdays and Sundays. So so they took a hobby, I guess, and turned it into a little business.
Now, a question on that.
Yeah.
Is beer better when it's been aged, or is it better when it's fresh?
I think it's better when it's fresh. Because
remember, not to mention the Budweiser brand, but a long time ago.
Oh, you mean that new Danish beer?
Exactly. They used to say it was Beechwood aged for decades or centuries or something like that, and that made it better. And then they changed their tune a while ago and said it was born on yesterday, and that's better. So what is it?
I don't know. Okay. I think the fresher the better, but... and especially these microbrews, they don't have the preservatives in them. So once you open up the little jug it comes in, I think you need to drink it.
Right.
I think it's like wine.
So it's a gas station that was converted to a brewery.
Yeah. Okay. And it's a cute little place, and they seem to be pretty busy when I went in there and selling beer. And,
that's
another place.
Because beer can be gas.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, exactly. I suppose it could.
Or, right, whatever.
Yeah. There's another brewery down the Cape called the Devil's Purse.
Yeah.
And again, a couple of guys who started that, one of them actually started making wine, and he said it took too long.
Yeah.
So he started making beer.
Yeah.
And he said it makes it a lot faster. But he actually has these gigantic tanks, and they actually sell it to some local taverns. So
must be a lot of fun. I mean,
he seemed to be walking around with a beer in his hand every time I saw him.
Well,
so
they do have to taste it to make sure to assure the quality.
I guess they do. So
they're all trying to pattern themselves after the his name is escaping me now, but the inventor of Samuel Adams was local.
Yeah.
Jim Cook. Right.
Yeah.
And he did very, very well. He's doing very, very well.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people say, you know, he started small.
Well, he always used to say Budweiser spills more beer than we make.
Yeah.
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 So I don't know how true. And most of his
probably
beers,
not so true anymore.
Most of his beers. Yeah. Most of his beers made in New York, I think, anyway. So.
Well, and like he's got 160 varieties.
I know.
Or something.
Yeah. Including one that's apparently like a brandy.
Wonder if he has a pumpkin porter.
I bet he does.
Yeah, I bet he does.
I bet he does, yeah.
Pumpkin patch?
Yep,
listen to Marita knowing all that stuff.
Yeah. And she claims not to drink. I'm just saying.
Man,
yeah. Hey, so what's up with the Irish Hit Parade today? Well, my wife woke up
and she said, what songs are you playing for Halloween for Irish? So I racked my brain.
And?
I have extensive experience with the Irish library and catalog. I think there's one.
One? There you go.
So we'll make sure we play that.
Okay, so your very best in Irish Halloween music coming up next with Paul Sullivan and the Irish
Parade.
Yes,
we'll be done at 10:05.
Yeah, and then he has a bunch of other good Irish music, too. So until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car. We're going to be talk with Marty Shore next week about his new book about Ford Performance. A lot of nice little secrets in there. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.